My own young lad now said to me, they were coming down, he said, I don't think I'll ever go down to that park playing again, Dad. Like, he's 12.
Just to think, like, I've been playing here, I can be playing on, like, loads of people's bodies.
We will continue to work together to ensure that we have a sensitive and respectful response to this reminder of our country's lack of compassion for the young girls, women, and children who were in these homes.
As Minister Catherine Zappone announced just what had been found in a septic tank in Tuam last Friday, the reaction was universal. Horror, disgust, outrage. But one word wasn't used, and that was surprise. The scandals involving the church have come at us fast in recent years, to the point at which we're no longer surprised by the sins of the past. Perhaps it's the wider definition of sin that has changed in the public mind. And as we look back on how we got to this point, there are many scandals to cover. But the first stands out as being different.
I'm not a sentimentalist, but it really was kind of love at first sight.
Annie Murphy, speaking in 1992.
I just felt this tremendous feeling. I don't know what it was, but I have never felt that in my life.
At the time, this was a scandal that rocked the Catholic Church to its core. Murphy had been involved in a consensual sexual relationship with a bishop, Eamon Casey. And that relationship produced a son, Peter.
I mean, I never wanted him to, you know, just throw out his position and come up and, you know, play father and all that. But it would have been nice if he just acknowledged me.
Annie Murphy was pilloried when she went public with her story. She went on The Late Late Show with Gay Byrne to tell her side.
Is he Eamon's child?
Yes, he is.
Well?
And you could put me in a firing squad and I'd say he is Eamon's child.
Okay.
All right, that's what I have to say.
Let's end with a note and say, if your son is half as good a man as his father, he won't be doing too badly.
Well, I'm not so bad either, Mr. Byrne.
Will you set him for that?
Casey would later admit that Peter was his son. His high profile as a bishop meant this was a scandal, as was the revelation that another famous priest, Michael Cleary, had also become a father. That men of the cloth had broken their vows might have seemed scandalous, but what was to follow would cast their sins in a very different light.
So there's nobody in the classroom but me and Smith. In that classroom, that's when he pulled up my skirt. He had his hand, he put his hand in my underwear, and he told me his finger was the finger of God.
The voice there of Helen McGonigal, who was abused by Father Brendan Smith in the United States. Over 40 years, Smith had used his power as a priest to abuse at least 143 victims, as he was moved between parishes in Belfast, Dublin, and America. His crimes were truly abhorrent, and even years after his death, they still haunted the church. Primate of All Ireland, Sean Brady, admitted that as a young priest, he had been involved in a church inquiry into allegations against Smith.
In 1975, Bishop Francis McKiernan set up a canonical inquiry to establish firm grounds for withdrawing the faculties, that's the license to practice as a priest, from Father Brendan Smith. It took the form of a question and answer sequence under oath before a notary. I was that notary. I didn't have decision-making powers for that in that inquiry. I did act.
To contact the state authorities, to contact the guards, the police, to go to the proper authorities. Why did you not do that?
Even today, the appropriate person to do that is the designated person. I was not that person.
That posed a terrible question. Had more been done in 1975, could Smith have been stopped? Those who were abused after that point were quick to respond. One of his later victims speaking to LMFM.
If they had done their job right, I wouldn't have been abused by Brendan Smith. I would have been saved all that torment and torture and loss and everything that goes with that. I would have been saved that. I know two people who have died by suicide as a result of being abused by Brendan Smith after 1975.
The scandal surrounding Smith was enough to bring down the Fianna Fáil Labour government in 1994, when it emerged that there had been a 7-month delay in extraditing him to the north. Smith died in prison, just 1 month into a 12-year sentence. The stories began to emerge. At first, there were few. Colm O'Gorman spoke in 1995 about his abuse at the hands of Father Sean Fortune in the Diocese of Ferns.
When I reported it to the police, I thought it was just me. I thought that he had did this to me and that was it, but I was worried he might do it to somebody else. But very quickly, within weeks, 5 other men who were boys at the time that they were abused and raped by him came forward. And within months, I started to hear suggestions that the church had known about him. Very quickly, it became clear that the Vatican also had received complaints about the priest who abused me.
The Ferns inquiry was to uncover more than 100 allegations of child sexual abuse made between 1962 and 2002 against 21 priests. It was also highly critical of the Gardaí and other state services for failing to intervene. In 1999, the States of Fear documentary aired on television.
When I went to London, I was a rent boy for 3 years, 5 years. I thought it was the right thing to do, to sell my body, to make money. They have a lot to answer for. The nuns have a lot to answer for. They were to look after me. They didn't do their job. They brought in men to spoil me, and spoil me in the wrong way, sexually, physically and mentally.
The programme detailed abuse suffered by children between the 1930s and the 1970s in reformatory and industrial schools. It ultimately would lead to an apology from the state for those who had to endure the system, and the Ryan Commission report, which found that sexual abuse was endemic in boys' institutions. The stories that emerged were harrowing, including this on questions and answers from a survivor of St. Joseph's Industrial School in Clonmel.
8 of us from the one family, dragged by the ISPCC cruelty man, put into 2 cars, brought to the court in Clonmel, left standing there without food or anything. And the fellow in the long black frock and the white collar came along and he put us into a van, not a van, a scut truck. I don't know what you call it now. A scut truck, and landed us below with 200 other boys. 2 nights later, I was raped. How can anyone? You're talking about constitution. These people would gladly say yes to a constitution to freeze the funds of the religious order. This state, this country of ours, will say yes to that constitution if you have to change it. Don't say you can't change it. You're the government of this state. You run this state. So for God's sake, stop mealy-mouthing.
The Ryan Report was published in May 2009. In November of the same year came the Murphy Report into what had happened in the Dublin Archdiocese.
The Commission criticised 4 archbishops: John Charles McQuaid, Dermot Ryan, Kevin McNamara and Cardinal Desmond Connell. It said they didn't report to police their knowledge of abuse throughout the 1960s, 1970s and the 1980s.
From the BBC News report on the night of publication.
As Archbishop of Dublin and as Dermot Martin a person, I offer to each and every survivor my apology, my sorrow and my shame for what happened.
Dublin Archbishop Dermot Martin giving his reaction. The Commission had heard about alleged abuse by 67 priests from the 1940s and of state indifference, or worse, deference, when wrongdoing was reported. But it wasn't to stop there. More and more stories were being told.
Phyllis Valentine grew up in an orphanage in County Clare. At 15, she was told the church had found her work in a laundry.
I went with the nuns and the priest, and we went to Galway. And I shall never forget the day as long as I live. These big, big gates opened. All you could see was these bars on the windows, big high walls. And I went in through this gravel path. 2 or 3 nuns came out and a priest came out. Well, he was a bishop, I think. He had a red robe on. And he came out to meet me. And I was brought in this long, long corridor.
From a British documentary, Sex in a Cold Climate, that sought to question what had happened inside what were known as Magdalen laundries. What had happened in the laundries was a secret hidden in plain sight. Tens of thousands of fallen women who had children out of wedlock sent to work in church-run institutions without pay. Only when the site of one such laundry was being sold in Dublin in 1993 were questions first asked. Bodies of 155 women who had died there were found and exhumed from unmarked graves. The stories of those who survived the laundries came into the public domain, prompting an offer of compensation from the state and this from the Taoiseach in the Dáil.
This is a national shame, for which I say again, I'm deeply sorry and offer my full and heartfelt apologies. At the conclusion of my discussions with one group of the Magdalene women, one of those present sang Whispering Hope. A line from that song stays in my mind. When the dark midnight is over, watch for the breaking of day. Let me hope that this day and this debate, heralds a new dawn for all those who feared that the dark midnight might never end.
Many of those who ended up in those laundries first had to endure mother and baby homes, like Christina Mulcahy.
He was only 10 months old when she said to me one day, as soon as you're finished in the nursery, come to my office and you're going home today. And I was breastfeeding the baby at the time. And I said, can I go back? And said goodbye to the baby. What does he know about anything? Go back and upset him. I said, you're not going back, there's a car waiting. And I said, but no time to say goodbye. No time to say goodbye.
And more people have been telling stories like that since the truth about Choom broke last Friday. And that brings us full circle. This constant procession of unspeakable evil explains why there is anger and revulsion about 796 bodies in a septic tank in Galway. No one is surprised. And no one's going to be surprised either by what we find when we dig a little further into this. But if we're not surprised by what's going to happen next, what does that mean about what we learn from it?